Have Brad and Linda come on up here. I hope that you all know Brad and Linda Abelseth. They're new to Huron, new to our church, and then they've been out for a couple months here because Linda had open heart surgery, and this is her first Sunday back. That's really good news, isn't it? Yeah, doesn't she look fantastic? And God's just done such a miracle, even just to that she's still here. And I tell you what, Brad and Linda, I feel like you guys are like Joshua and Caleb. I'm going to preach about Joshua and Caleb today. But Joshua and Caleb, faithful to believe the promises of the Lord. And when they were up into their 80s, they were taking the hill country. They were taking claiming their ground and taking it for the Lord. I'm not saying you're in your 80s. I don't know how old they are. I'm just saying that you guys are taking new ground for the Lord in your retirement years, and you're not stopping, and I just have so much respect for that. So why don't you share with us what God's done and how you guys, the miracle. Tell us about it.
You know, I could probably go on for another hour, but
that's fine.
I don't even know where to begin or how to give the Lord the complete glory. We have doctored for a year and a half, and from heart doctors from Mayo to Rapid City have told us nothing is wrong. But I was still sick. They never could find a reason. We moved to Huron, go to a different doctor, and before I know it, I'm in open heart surgery. Waymaker this morning is so true in my life, in our life. This Christmas, we are celebrating Christmas, realizing who Jesus really is. He is so much more than a baby in a manger. He is the miracle worker. He's the joy giver. He's the way in the darkness. He loves us so much that he kept me for a year and a half. One side of my heart was plugged 100%. The other 95%. And I'm still alive. That's only through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, the doctor told her Thursday, Dr. Waterbury, he said, you know, Linda, he said, I've never seen anybody ever be able to walk in here in your condition. You should have been dead. Man, you know, when I look at this, I am in total agreement with Linda. I mean, we look back now over the years. We've been ministers for years, both of us. And I look at some of the things that God has brought us through, from when our house burned to the ground and the ashes in the corner when it was all over at the 5th of February, 1975. And on top of the ashes was a little baby Jesus in a ceramic manger because he'd already been through the fire. He's already been through the fire for every one of us and for Linda. But it was incredible. The night of Linda's surgery, we got there, and Dr. Waterbury tried to open it and put a stent in. He said, come back. And he said, Brad, I can't do anything with it. He said, we'll have to have surgery. I said, well, when are we going to schedule that? He said, schedule it. It's right now. And how many of us know our God is a right now God? Right now, this moment, he said, I am that I am. Yeah. He was in the past. He will be in the future. But he's right now. Right now. So that night, they took her in, and they did the open heart surgery. And they told me, you probably will be a little shocked when you walk into the room when she came back. Shock is really putting it pretty light, because there's hoses everywhere, and they're coming out of her body, they're in her neck, it was unreal. And I went back to the room. For those of you who know that heart doctors have their own, they have a little cottage, you might say, that where you place where you can stay, and I went back to the room. I laid down, and my mind was relatively clear except thinking about her. And I must have fell asleep, but in the middle of the night, the Lord woke me up. Because we've wondered why we moved to Huron. I mean, we were West River kids. We grew up in up by Buffalo, South Dakota, and we've always been rancher kids. We're ones that have always never missed the NFR, never. And we're here, and I'm questioning. God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me plain and simple, Brad, I moved you to Huron to save Linda's life. I'm telling you, our God is a now God. Right now, I could go on and tell you all kinds of times when our youngest son went to prison, what God did for him and how he saved him. Our youngest daughter was date raped and how he saved her. All four of our children, our two boys and our two girls, are all serving the Lord. We are blessed. But let me end with this. There's an old song that Stuart Hanlon did that says, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. Oh, glory, hallelujah. If you're struggling this morning, if you just will just take a second and bow where you're at, you might be trembling, you might be shaken, because I remember what it was like when I gave my life to the Lord. But he'll meet you right there. Because what he's done for us or what he's done for you, whatever he done for you, he'll do for me. Because God is no respecter of persons. We are glorifying God this Christmas as we go. We are to our outreach people and those that we minister to. We have told them that this is a year when we are going to glorify God in everything that we do. I thought we was before, but in a bigger way, somehow, some way, every part of our house, everything we do is going to be to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't want to get into preaching, so. I will say, Jeff, for those, you know, all my pastors in Wyoming, and I have some in Wyoming, and when they get done with Christmas, you know what it's like at Christmas time for pastor and his wife, and it can be a stressful time. So they decided, well, it's time to go to the mountain. So they have a men's retreat up on top of the Bighorns in the middle of January. So a lot of snow. God bless you. Did you want to say something?
Don't doubt God's timing.
Amen. We love you guys so much. Aren't they just amazing? Yeah, I want us to stand and honor them through clapping. Seriously, thank you, Jesus. Brad and Linda, oh my goodness. I love you guys. Aren't they just so anointed too? Brad's going to preach for us sometime in the next coming months. It's kind of, he's working with his schedule. He's got to go to Hawaii at the end of the month. And you know what a burden that can be when your children say, Mom and Dad, we're going to take you to Hawaii. And you're like, okay, fine, kids, because I serve you and love you. No, we're so excited they're going to Hawaii. This is just such a season of restoration for you guys and blessing. I feel it in my spirit. Like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good. Jeff had a dream, maybe a couple years ago even now. He had a dream that the Lord was sending to us seasoned, mature ministers of the gospel to just be in the house as mothers and fathers or grandpa and grandmas in the spirit. And so almost the first time I met Brad and Linda, I said, I told Jeff, I said, the Lord sent us what your dream said. He sent us a seasoned, better than a father, a grandfather and a grandmother in the spirit. And we just love you guys. We honor you, man. Praise God. I feel like I have, I just want to read a scripture that I feel like is for January, actually, for the fast that we have going on. This is not a Christmas message. We're just, I would have preached a Christmas message if that was what the Lord would have given me, but it's not. So we're going to press into the new year this morning. My mind is just not in Christmas. We're going to celebrate. It's going to be great. But my heart and my mind is what God is wanting us to do and conquer and take as a church in the coming days. And I feel like the Lord spoke this scripture kind of in Joshua a lot. I love the book of Joshua. It's about the children of Israel possessing their promises. How many of you have a promise from the Lord that you have not physically seen it come to pass yet? Raise your hand if you have a promise from the Lord that you're not walking in it yet. Yeah. Yep. That is for you. This is for you. So in this scripture, the context, Joshua is about ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, what is now Israel. It's possessed and by giants, by fighting people, of pagan idol worshipers, super depraved land, very ruthless to its enemies. And they 40 years earlier, they were about ready to go in, and they all got scared, or a lot of them did. And because they had no faith, they actually weren't able to enter the land. They had to wander around for 40 more years in the desert. That 40 years is done. How many would like a desert season to be over? Yeah. I think we're going to come out of a wilderness here, personally. Yeah. Amen. Wildernesses have their purpose. Hopefully it's not because we weren't faithful. But, you know, John the Baptist spent a lot of years in hiddenness in the wilderness. He was called the greatest prophet ever to live, never did a miracle. So they're about ready to go in, and the Lord gives this instruction. Just on the eve of possessing their promises, the Lord says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. And some versions say, purify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things. And I feel like one of the things that the Lord wants to do in January, as we, like Jeff said, tune out some other voices, tune into the Lord in a focused way, I think that he's wanting to bring us into deeper consecration. And we will have breakthrough to the degree that we have consecration. It's really, really, really related. And so those things that we want to walk in, the greater signs and wonders and miracles and the great harvest, the third great awakening. The Lord knows, like, he would only give us what we can actually carry by the grace of God. And consecration and purity of heart actually is directly related to how we can walk before the Lord. And so I just wanted, that's not even what I'm preaching on this morning, but I wanted to release that. And I feel like we're going to be pressing into the Lord in January. God, how can we consecrate ourselves? You know what consecrate means? To be set apart for the Lord. You were birthed into the kingdom to be set apart for Jesus, set apart from all the yuck and the chaos of the world. It's like he plucked you out it's like the fire was burning and he reached in and there was one little twig he decided to rescue. He says, not this one. This one is destined for glory. Set apart, consecrated. And so let's do that. Let's do that. All right. If you need a handout, you could raise your hand and usher will get it for you. We're going to go through quite a bit of scripture today. You could certainly use your Bible for that also. We're going to start out in Joshua 1. And we're talking today about letting the 2021 world changers arise. Okay. Oh, I really love this hour that we're living in, and I really hate this hour that we're living in. Does anyone, like, relate to it? you know, there's a lot of uncertainty about even our nation and where we're heading and where we're going, and that affects every single one of us. There's change coming, whether we like it or not. It's a season we're in. It's transition, and there's change. No matter who's in the White House, there's added pressure coming. And the Lord knows how to create or allow an environment that's going to mature his church and bring them into their destiny. Now, I don't like trouble, and I pray that, I mean, I really pray, God, bring us peace as a nation. Bring us, you know, we want to be righteous. We contend for these things. We want God's influence over every sphere of society. But when we find ourselves in trials and tribulations and dark times and shaking and uncertainty, it is to be for our good. It is to be for the strengthening of our character, for the deepening of our roots. The tree roots never go deep if they never experience drought or adversity. And so I believe this is, I mean, man, the signs of the third great awakening are like among us. Whoa, 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 whoa. Do you know, I'm really not critical of the church in America. I think she's glorious. And I know that she's not perfect, and I believe she's growing and she's maturing. But you know what I see over the last 10 years? She's now awake. And I think she was once sleeping. But there is a ever-growing remnant of the body of Christ that's spiritually alert now. Now, do we need to be more alert? Yes. Oh, my. Yeah. But there's awakening that's been happening. The rumblings, the shakings, they've served to awaken, awaken, awaken. The Lord's been drawing his people. There's a mighty prayer movement that's just been increasing in the whole earth, including America, for the last 20 years. A new thing. It's beautiful. And I want us as a body to be positioned to seize the moment. It is a moment of harvest. It's a moment. Do you know we have a sweet former Buddhist in this room? Katray. He's not a Buddhist anymore. I wish, is Adah here? Oh, Adah's sleeping. Just kidding. Adah shared the Christ with Katray this last year, and Katray politely was like, oh, I'll listen, wasn't interested, but God works with us. And so then Katray went to sleep. God gave him a dream. He woke up, wanted to know more about Jesus, and here he is. It is, yeah, we love you, Katray. You're amazing. Such a destiny in Jesus. This is a season of harvest. This is a season where we want to be positioned purposely to be world changers because the Spirit's working with us. So I want to look at Joshua 1. I want to pull some things out of Joshua 1 that are going to help us and strengthen us to be world changers in 2021. Let me read some to you. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. First of all, do you think those are pretty big shoes to fill? I mean, yeah. Probably a reason why Joshua needed to be encouraged. Really. So Moses, my servant's dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Lord says. You know, I also say, I think the Lord's saying to you, we've had a few deaths, some disappointments, some setbacks, seemingly as a nation even. Maybe you in your own personal life have had some death to dreams. But could the Lord also be saying to you, it's time to lead. You are a leader. If you're in this room, you are a leader. You are a leader of your family. If nothing else, you are a leader of your own life. And some of us, we abdicate the leadership of our own life all the time. Oh, I'll just kind of float through life. No, no, no. Could the Lord this morning be saying, no, I want you to rise up because now is a season to lead. Lead your family, lead your workplace, lead that Bible study, lead that prayer group, lead. So So he says to Joshua, now's your time to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan into the land I am giving them. I mean, this is amazing, guys. You remember, this is all these people have thought about for 40 years. Some of you aren't even 40 years old in here. They have been sitting on this promise for a while. Verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you. Oh, that's really good, guys. I'm going to read it again. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. Maybe the Lord just wants you to start walking, going somewhere with him, using the talents God's giving you, stepping out. Maybe you have a gift of healing, but you're afraid to pray for people. He's already given it to you. Take a step. It says, if you, wherever you set your foot, the Lord's already given it to you. There's really nowhere you can go that he has not gone before you. Isaiah 45 is one of my life scriptures. I strengthen myself with it often. And it says, the Lord himself, he says, he goes before you. He takes a hold of your right hand. It's like he's leading you. To level the mountains, to break down the gates of bronze, to cut through the bars of iron. It's the Lord himself that goes before you and gives you wherever your feet will tread. It's time to take new territory. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I don't think that means that we won't have adversity, but I think that we are linked to the champion. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. There's no demon in hell that can keep you from God's plan for your life. I know warfare is real. I mean, gosh, we went through some crazy circumstances and setbacks and, oh, man, and not knowing how to fight very well in the early days. We got beat up a lot, you know, so to speak, spiritually. I know warfare is real, but also, you can't focus on that. There is no demon in hell that can keep you from God's plan for your life. And that is the greater truth. Is warfare real? Absolutely. Let me tell you the greater, more powerful truth. No demon in hell can keep you from God's plan for your life. Let's grab a hold of the greater truth. And it makes this truth come into perspective. Warfare is real. God is more powerful. And no demon in hell can keep me from the assignment and the plan that God has for my life, for my family, for my children, for my workplace. Nothing. Sometimes we find truths in the Bible, but we don't know the greater truth, so we're living in fear of this truth. The devil is real. God is more powerful. And which one lives inside of you? Hopefully not the devil. Jesus lives inside of you if you're a born-again believer. And no one is able to stand against you. This is a truth. God's given you guys, I bet each and every one of us, great and awesome promises. Guess what, though? Many of your promises are going to come along with some giants attached to them. I'm sorry. Guess what? They had a promise and had a bunch of giants attached to it. It had a bunch of fortified cities that they had to war against. It had adversity. There was adversity. We want the promise, and then we're just going to walk through like rainbows and unicorns and valleys with flowers and fragrances and little musical notes filling the air. And we're like, woo! I think that day's coming. It's called heaven. But on this side, the Lord gives us a promise. And he says, here's your promise. Slay the giant. And we're like, the giant, the warfare's so great. The warfare. I hate the warfare. Jesus. He's like, get your eyes off the warfare. Get your eyes on me. I gave you a promise. And I could slay that giant through you with one single stone and a slingshot. I mean, David had a little bag of stones, but he only really needed one of them, turned out. We don't need the easy path. We just want to be in the race with Jesus. We don't need the path of least resistance. You don't want that one. That's vegging in front of your television 3 hours every night. That's the path of least resistance. Instead, let's take the path of venture with Jesus. Let's possess our promises. Let's see a city filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you got neighbors. I guarantee you have neighbors that are ready to meet Christ. You got family members, you didn't even know it. God's already working in their life, waiting. They are waiting for you to share the gospel. No one will stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you as I was with Moses. Oh, and here's a great one. I will not fail you or abandon you. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. This is a promise that was good for Joshua and good for the disciples and good for you. As you take your ground, Jesus will never leave you, never forsake you. And guess what? He doesn't go beside you. That's too far away. He comes in you. That's how close he is in this, how invested he is in this war, in this battle for your promises. Next verse, it says 6, the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. I think the Lord had to tell him that because he wasn't feeling very strong and he wasn't feeling very courageous. Now, when I don't feel strong and courageous, I really start beating myself up and I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm such a loser. But I think Joshua needed to be encouraged in it too. He says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. He says it again, be strong and very courageous. Pause right there. If you're going to take notes, why don't you write a few things down here? Looking at the qualities of a world changer, God wants you to be strong. Now, some of you right now feel totally defeated that I even said that. Do you know me? Do you know how weak I am? Actually, that's great. Because you're not supposed to run this race in your own strength, right? Paul even says, I labor, you know, he worked with the strength of the Lord working in and through him. The reason why we can be strong is because we have the strong one inside of us. Holy Spirit, roaring like a lion in the face of the adversity and the enemy. I think we have no idea how powerful we are in Christ. I know I forget it. I have amnesia about every other week. I have to be reminded about how strong I am in Christ. Jeff was reading, he has just a passion to see Buddhists come to know Christ in our city. And so he was reading this testimony about a Buddhist monk who came to know Jesus. And he read me a couple excerpts of this. It was amazing. This Buddhist had never heard the name of Jesus. He lived in Asia somewhere. And, man, super sad. Oh, my goodness, such a sad life. But he was traveling on a spiritual journey to see the Dalai Lama, I think, or something, a big leader in Buddhism. So it's kind of as a spiritual, you know, trying to get enlightenment, he was going on this spiritual journey. Well, he went to this new part of the world that he'd never been at, and he met a cousin. He had a cousin that was there. And the cousin had become a Christian. And the cousin basically just said, I want you to know that I serve Jesus Christ and I'm a Christian. He didn't even share the whole gospel, just told him that he was a Christian and there was this God named Jesus. From that moment forward, That Buddhist monk could not get the name of Jesus out of his mind. And so he went before like a high spiritual monk for spiritual guidance and said, "What do you know about Jesus?" The man was thrown into a demonic rage. He says, "Never say that name. That name has the ability to strip you of all your power. And it won't conquer you with darkness. The name of Jesus will conquer you with light." That's what this demonized Buddhist monk said to the other monk. "He will conquer you with light." He said, "I don't even want you to say his name." And in innocence, the other monk said, "Well, if he's so dangerous, don't you think we should warn other monks about him?" "No, this is what he says, "to even warn and to speak his name in warning to other people will strengthen him." He says, "I've seen it. I have seen people lose their prana and karma and all this, whatever, all this, like, I don't know all this stuff, honestly. I don't know the right terms. To lose their dark demonic powers because of the name of Jesus." And this demonized high monk leader said, "His name is like no other name." Wow. Wow. Of course, he gets saved later. His story is fantastic. That's the God that we have on the inside of us, that at the mention of his name, demons are trembling. If you don't walk in that, it's because you're not believing it. That's it. You just have to believe it. It's true. When you walk into a dark place, you are the most powerful person in that room. It doesn't matter if you are walking into a coven of witches, all doing their little witch thing and about ready to sacrifice a cat. And you're like, "This is dark." You just walked in with the living God into the room. You are the most powerful, Jesus in you, through you, the most powerful being in that room. And you immediately have the ability to change atmospheres, to release words of life. Friends, 2021, the Lord's saying to you, be strong. Anna Bonilla, be strong. Your God is fighting with you. For you. He's going before you. He's in you. You've got such a harvest in you. And all around you and in your household and around your household, everywhere you go, people get saved, Anna. Be strong. "2021 is a year where the Lord is prophesying to his people, be strong. I'm with you. You don't have to do it on your own strength. You don't have to be smart." I had a teenager was over at the house being so sweet. He said, "I just think you and Jeff are the smartest people I've ever known." I started laughing. I'm like, "Oh, honey." "No." "Thank you. I just received that encouragement. But no, I'm proof God can use anybody to do anything." That's what I'm claiming. "I'm proof he can take a little pig farmer's daughter from West River," I like that place too, "and pluck them out and just do something fruitful in their life for the glory of his name." And the Lord said to the qualities of a world changer, he said, "Be strong." So the Lord's wanting men and women of strength who know where their strength come from. And then he said, "Be courageous." Do you know the need for courageous leaders in this hour? The world wants to shut you up. They want to intimidate you. Don't you talk about marriage between a man and a, being a, between a man and a woman. That might offend someone in the room. Well, I'm not trying to offend anyone in the room, but could we just be courageous? Courageous. Courageous leaders. I'm scared to share the gospel. You know what? Just muster up whatever you have in you and say the name of Jesus. Obviously, that's enough. And in 2021, I think the Lord is going to blow and anoint courage. He's just going to, I'm blowing on that. I see a spark of courage, and they're taking whatever they have, that courage they have, and they're using it, and the Lord's going to blow on it. He's going to anoint courage. Courage to speak truth. Courage to love well. Some of you are going to have the courage to take in foster kids this year. Some of you are going to have the courage to adopt. Some of you are going to have the courage to speak truth in love to your family members, and they're going to be saved. What if you don't feel courage? Well, you have the courageous one living inside of you. You know, all of our problems lie between our ears, in our stinking thinking. I mean, that's all of our problems. Well, I was born timid. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm not a rude person. Courage isn't rude. Courage isn't rude. You know who I think is an amazingly courageous leader? Winter Hendrickson. Stand up, Winter. Let's just give her a hand clap for her courage. Winter has, she is so good with people. She doesn't walk around offending people. She's sweet. She's a people person. She's an encourager, and she is courageous in the face of adversity, in the face of darkness. She's unafraid to speak truth in love. You can do a lot in love. If you're out of love, it doesn't work so well. Courage. See, Jeff has a younger brother, Tim. Oop, I said his name. That's okay. And Tim is, what, 2 or 3 years younger than you? Okay. And Jeff was always, like, a total athlete growing up. And a little tall for his age, too. So tall, kind of muscular. Honestly, he was a little stud in, you know, through high school, junior high, even in grade school. He was a great athlete. And even in Little League, he was super serious. Like, to him, it was the World Series every game. He tells a story about this little girl in Little League who was out in outfield picking dandelions. And, of course, Jeff, this is like the World Series, Little League. He's like, hey, get your head in the game! And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I don't know if it really went like something like that. He was ticked off. Why even go out if you're not going to be serious about it? He was serious athlete, strong. And his little brother knew he had the ability to fight. So guess what? Tim was extra courageous when Jeff was around. Also maybe, I don't know, maybe a little annoying even. He would pick fights with other kids so Jeff would have to beat him up. He'd pick fights, and then they'd start pushing Tim, and Jeff's like, whoa. And Jeff also had a temper tantrum issue when he was younger also. I don't know, what little leaguer do you know that got benched for, like, yelling at people? I don't know. Anyway, so Jeff steps in then, because now little Timmy's getting pushed around. So Jeff steps in and beats him up. And Tim seemed to think that was really fun. Sometimes I don't think we know fully who walks with us and who's got our back. Tim felt pretty courageous when Jeff was there. He had somebody that had his back. No matter how they fought at home, or maybe they got into their own scraps and had some knockdowns at home, I don't know. But when they were out playing ball on the playground, nobody messes with little Timmy, except for Jeff. The only person who could beat Timmy up is Jeff. Guys, we have the creator of the universe living in us. You can be courageous because you literally have the dread champion of the earth on your side. Not even hell itself could hold him down. All the demons could be emptied out of hell and the earth and be holding on to Jesus, and he still was resurrected. Nothing can hold him down. That's your God. That's the one that goes before you, that's put his spirit in you. Guess what? You can be courageous. If you know who's with you, instant courage. There's been a few times I've just been scared of an assignment the Lord gave me just because it was scary. And Jeff came to me. I remember this one time, maybe 7 years ago or something. And I was like, man, I'm going to do this. And it's going to really hurt me. Like, I knew it's costly. I said yes to the Lord. It was costly. And Jeff came to me and he looked me in the eye. And he said, you will never stand alone. God, instant courage. He said, I'm just going to be there with you, and I'm going to take the hits with you. You will never be alone, Autumn. How much more when our Savior, the Messiah, the Creator, God, looks you in the eye and says, you will never be alone. I got your back. You're doing my work. My girl doing my work. My boy doing my assignment. Praise God. We're just going to preach until we're done, and then we just stop, right? Because I'm looking at the time, and I won't have time to pray. So I might do part 2 next week or the week after as we go into 2021. But I felt like the Lord wanted this service to be an activation service, actually, where we take the truth of his word and we say, what that means is like, I'm going to take what I heard and now I'm going to act on it, right? I'm going to grab a hold of Jesus and the grace of God that's available to me and let it activate me to be a world changer. Let's stand up right now. Chad, do you mind coming up and doing something on the guitar? I am not joking when I say, when I look across this congregation, I see world changers, not by faith. I mean, I see world changers. I see people who are being transformed by the glory of God and who care about souls and want to have assignments fulfilled from the Lord, who want to walk in their gifting, who want to love well. And if the Lord could change the whole earth with 12, what could he do through this room for our city, for our state? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close our eyes right now. Let's just reach our hands up to heaven. Let's just receive from the Lord right now. Jesus, we're asking, Lord, Father, that you would show us how strong you are, and you would show us how much of an overcomer you are, God. We just say right now, God, we want to be world changers in 2021. Lord, we want this sanctuary to be packed with new believers, Lord. We don't want to be able to contain it. We want churches to be in every apartment complex, Lord, in every townhouse, Lord. Father, we want Bible studies, discipleship groups to fill the city for worship and prayer. Lord, let the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea in Huron, South Dakota. And Jesus, right now we're saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I'll do it. God, we say, make us courageous by the grace of God. We choose to be strong in you, Jesus. We choose to be strong. We choose to be fearless. We choose to lock eyes with you, Jesus, right now. Jesus. 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 I want you to find somebody in the room and pray for them right now. I want you to pray for them that they would be full of strength and courage to take a hold of their promises. This is what we're going to do for the next few minutes. Let's, unless you have to leave, let's just stick with what the Holy Spirit's doing. So everybody, it could be the person next to you, it could be the person that came with you, or it could be someone across the room.
I just felt like as Autumn was praying, before we start praying, like I just felt like there were some old dreams that people had, like maybe from even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, like what God put in your heart, and they're dormant right now. And then I just feel like the Lord's saying it's like time, and it's time to go. So just to be activated in those dreams like right now, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of those things that God put in your heart. Even from when you were like a little, I feel like it's for a lady, a little girl, like there's dreams in your heart, and like God has those for you right now. He just wants to activate you in those.
All right, I want you to get up from your seat. I want you to find someone and pray for them right now. Everyone should be praying for somebody.